Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into a long, long overdue edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We are excited to be back with you today. Before we get started, though, I want to say, this is a promise, we're going to get back on a regular schedule, and when news happens, you are going to hear from the authorities on Kansas football and Kansas men's basketball. You'll hear from John Kirby. You'll hear from Shea Wildebor. I'll even let you hear from me now and then. But that's the promise that I'm starting with today. Before we get in, we've got so much to cover from basketball, football, baseball. We've got name, image, and likeness to talk about. There's been a national championship added to the Kansas basketball trophy case since the last time you guys heard from us. We have a ton of stuff to get into. So let's get right into it. I'm going to bring in, first off, our man on the men's basketball beat, Shea Wildebor. Shea, been a long time, man. How are you doing today?
Long time, man. I'm good. You know, I thought I might get a little break when the season ended, but I was in Lawrence all week for camps and charity events and all kinds of stuff. So, no, it's good to be back. It's been too long. A lot's been going on. Obviously, the Jayhawks ended the season. Like, only one team can this time of year. So, it's been good, man. It's good to get back here in the studio and hear you guys and get to talk a little hoops and some football and some baseball and see what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good to have you back with us. Now I'm going to bring in my man, the publisher of JayhawkSlant.com and the foremost expert on Kansas football, at least that I know, your friend, my friend, John Kirby. John,
fellas, I am just getting over whatever in the heck I just had, man. I was down for about 2.5 weeks. I know we were going to do this podcast on Sunday, and I'll tell you what, I was so clogged up in my chest and my head, I couldn't even talk for more than 15 minutes straight. So it's good to be able to get on and hopefully I've still got some of that junk lingering. So hopefully we can make it through this and
ain't buying it. Hey Randy, isn't it amazing when we get sick, it's like, oh dude, power through, fellas.
Hey,
yes. But when the old curb dog gets sick, everybody, take a little break. Everybody, take a few steps back.
That's right.
Say, yeah, we're just gonna have to thing off. You know, I might have a couple coughs
during this thing. You know what's crazy is, guys, they put me on steroids, they put me on antibiotics, they gave me a couple different prescription cough things. Nothing worked, and then I've had several people who said, "Did they test you for COVID?" And I said, "No." I mean, I went into the doc, you know, and got looked over and everything, and they never once said, let's test you for COVID. You know, they just put me on some stuff, but it's good to be back. You know, when I think back to that national title, you know, one picture I always jumps into my head is seeing Shea's son Kemper with Bill Self, right? And thinking what a cool memory for a kid like that to be able to go down there and experience that, because, you know, some of us guys, we've seen, you know, I was at KU in 88 when they won it, right? So I mean, you know, we've all experienced national titles, but that's pretty cool, you know, pretty cool when those young kids can see it.
Absolutely.
It was fun, man. And I told them beforehand, I was like, dude, don't bother anybody. I was like, I'm down here for work. This is a vacation. We'll do some stuff on the side. And as I'm walking away,
don't bother anybody, yeah, he says to his son.
Self looks at Kipper and says, what's up, bud? You know, so he has that, what's up, bud? And come on over here and talk to me. And, you know, it's like the one thing, you guys, that I've been fortunate enough to do, as a dad, is give my son those opportunities. And it's for me, it's been, you know, it's been so cool for him to be a part of that with me. And, you know, we made the drive down to New Orleans together. We drove back together and he was at the games. And so he's been a part of some of that stuff. And it's something I don't normally like to talk about because a lot of people don't get to experience.
Yeah.
That. And, you know, I kind of consider myself fortunate that I can bring Kemper around and that he's been welcomed by those guys. And so, yeah, it was a great run, man. Down 15 at half, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I mean, you know, when are they going to get back? What's going to happen? How's it going to play out? And it was just like one of those things where it's just something I'll never forget, man, covering that and being a part of that and being up close and personal with it. It was really cool to be
hey,
there.
Shay,
to
you know what was
that.
Crazy about one of the things about winning that is waking up the next morning, right? And the first things you see are the ESPN top 25 for next year. and
enjoy it.
Who's staying and who's going? This is all like the next morning, and I'm sitting here going, God dang, guys, enjoy this thing a little bit, you know? I mean, but everybody's got, you know, it's pretty crazy in our world since we first started doing this. What we were all, Shay and I have been together for 21, 22 years. Randy, you've been there not too long, and you're a journalism guy and grew up with that. It's crazy to think how everything's changed and the news cycle has changed in what we do.
You know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they've gone through the journalism school at KU, or they're there right now, I think. And the degree, the sequence, you know, like I was a print, you know, as I was a print news, essentially. So a news reporting major. And then I moved to the Dole Center and went TV. And so I was a broadcast news major. And now because of the, you know, I remember just as I finished up at KU in 2002 with my undergrad, they were working on having a converged newsroom. They were going to bring the Kansan and KUJH and KJHK, everything together, really, and kind of have it all in the same space, much the way that when I was working at Channel 6, we had a shared newsroom between Lawrence Journal World and Channel 6 there in Lawrence. And now the major is news and information. And it's because of the fact that, you know, we used to have to check out cameras, you know, in the journalism school to go in and cover a press conference. You know, I remember sitting there for Coach Self's introductory press conference, covering it I was there for both Channel 6 and for KUJH. And, you know, you'd have to go check out a camera, and you don't even have to mess with that anymore because everybody can be a reporter. The world has changed so significantly, so dramatically, in the fact that anyone can create content. Anybody can bring news and information and share it with the masses. And that's, you talk about just what all has changed since we were in school, since we started doing this. I mean, it's unbelievable, really, what we've seen. And God, we sound like a bunch of old men on this thing right now. Oh, when I started, this is the way it was in 1992.
Yeah, hey, I said Kemper. I was like, we're talking about he's going to be a sophomore now. I was like, what do you want to do, man? I was like, what? I mean, obviously every kid wants to play sports as long as they can, but I was like, Kemper, life after sports. He's like, Dad, I want to do broadcast journalism. And I was like, yeah, that's cool, man. And he does all these hype videos and like all this stuff and like does all these announcing things. And like, he's on this thing at school called Al TV. So it's cool to see, you know, he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to be a doctor, a lawyer, a garbage man, whatever. But it's cool if he wants to follow in Dad's footsteps, just to see where he can go and work and it'll be different.
Do we just have the boys keep on the Jayhawk slant? Because Tyler, my oldest, is going to KU next year, and he's going in as journalism. So we'll just hand Jayhawk slant over to the kids here.
There you go.
Run with it.
The Jayhawk slant family business. There you go.
Run with it.
That's crazy. I didn't even think about John. I didn't realize your oldest is heading to KU next year. That's wow.
Dude, I remember when he was born. I'll never forget it. That's how long I've been around. I mean, that was.
Wow.
Many moons ago when Curb Dog first had his, and I think they were living at a house over a completely different house than they are now. And I remember, John, didn't you have to get rid of a dog because he snapped at him because Tyler was messing with him
when
he
was
eating?
That's a good memory.
Do I remember that?
Our dog, man, he was my wife's dog. Then we got married And he didn't really sometimes like the attention Tyler got being a newborn. And one day I was feeding. I had put food in the dog's dish, and I didn't see my son, and he crawled near the dog dish, and the dog bit him in the head. Yeah, and I'm telling you, God. Randy, I was about the maddest I've ever been in my life. I picked my kid up. I got him on my left arm. Mm-hmm. I got the phone in my right hand because my wife's a nurse. I was trying to kick the dog. I am literally running around trying to kick the dog. I'm so mad. I'm calling my wife to say, what do I need to do? I got my son in my left hand. And it was about a month after that that we, maybe a little shorter, we finally just said, hey, we can't do this.
Yep.
It was. And those decisions are hard. I know that's not uncommon, but man, that obviously you're going to choose your child, but
we love that dog. And you know what? Then we came back and we got another black lab, and he's about 105 pounds, big old dog. And he loves those kids. So, but yeah, that was a tough. Yeah.
Hank. Big old Hank.
Hank
the Tank, one of the biggest freaking dogs. And I'm somebody, I have a pit staffy that's nearly 90 pounds. That's just 2 years old. And Hank is twice as big as Homer.
Oh yeah, he wants us out of the house. I got him and my two boys. We're ready. We're ready for one of those boys to get up to KU and ease up on that food bill.
Hey, and to a shout out to John's son, state championship.
Yes,
track and field.
You know what? Okay, we talked about one championship. Let's talk about another one. Really important, John. Oh, now, what is that like? How
that was cool.
What was that like for you?
Let's talk some KU sports, but it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to have a son win a state title. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, 2 or 3 years ago, he got into pole vault, and I didn't know one thing about pole vault, and I'm still learning.
I remember you telling me that you were like, I don't know anything about
this. I'll tell you this real quick. This is a kid that John's son couldn't beat for the longest time, and he got him. So, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, John won't ever say it, but it's a huge deal.
I was going to say, Kirby's too humble, and so we're going to make him talk about this for a minute, because I know.
Andrew put in work at the state title, and I've talked to John many times about, you know, Shay, he just can't get this kid. I mean, they're friends, and they're competitive, and they get after each other, but when you lose to a guy over and over, and you finally get him when the stakes are at the highest,
it was cool.
That's a big deal.
He'll remember that for the rest of his life.
You know, I'm going to tell you that this, day, you know, guys, I've been around sports all my life. I mean, that's all I've ever done. And I've been around athletes. Mm-hmm. I've been around coaches. And I'll tell you, man, that pole vault is one of the hardest events you will ever see happen. I mean, you can take anything you've ever seen, any sport. And I'll tell you, man, you got to have speed. You've got to have, you know, you got to have flexibility. You've got to have power. You got to have strength. You've got to be able to control your body. And I can tell you this, my ass would have never done that. I mean, I'm out.
It is one of the craziest things. I love watching at the Olympics because I'm like, I know nothing about it, but it looks unbelievable. And on top of all that, Kirby, you got to be like, you got to be pretty. You got to have a certain level
absolutely.
Of crazy. Because, I'm going to run, and I'm going to stick a stick in the ground. I'm going to throw myself over that fence, essentially. That you got to be a special kind of crazy to do that high in the air.
Well, and I'll say this, guys, too, and I don't know if a lot of people who follow KU sports know this, but, you know, their pole vault program at KU is incredible. I don't know where they finish. I think they might have had two guys that just finished in the top 10 at the national track meet. But, I mean, they've got – And there's been a little interest there in my son, and he's starting to get some college interest in things. But KU's pole vault, I'm telling you, it's no joke. Mm-hmm. They just signed in this coming class. He'll report this fall. They just signed the number one pole vaulter in the United States. And yeah, this kid's like 17-4 or something like that. He's coming out of Texas. So hey, KU's pole vaulting program is top notch.
Things you didn't know. That's all right. Well, I want to say again, congratulations to you and your son and your family. That's such a
appreciate that.
It's such a great story. And like Shay said, man, that's God. Even if he decided he was done pole vaulting, be like, hey, I'm just going to go be a college kid. That was fun. To go out like that.
Well, he's got another year now. He's only a junior. So, I mean,
a year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, hey, now all of a sudden, I was joking with him the other day that he'd been chasing this other kid who's the defending state champ, and he caught him and he beat him. I said, now the roles are going to reverse. Everybody's chasing you now. So it's a little different mentality.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome that you guys will get to share that and go, you know, you get to watch him prepare and what it's like to go from being the hunter to being the hunted, you know. That's cool. So cool. All right. So we have covered a lot of ground. Now we're going to talk about Kansas basketball and Kansas football and the things that you tune into the Inside Slant for. So I'm gonna kick this thing off. We're gonna start with you, Shay. We talked about it. How Kirby mentioned how literally the next morning after the national championship, when you're going through your email box looking at all the emails with the championship gear you could buy, and the too early top 25 is already out. With that, that was just the beginning of it. You know, the players reported just last week. And, you know, all of us have been seeing the videos on social media. Maybe the best one was Grady Dick finding the note in his chest of drawers from Ochai, telling, you know, whoever moves in this room, go be great. Yeah. That was fantastic. You know, you've been front and center, been able to see all these kind of, you know, see some of that stuff happen. You know about all the events, everything that's been going on. What has it been like just to be around the team over what has been an absolute whirlwind, really, for the last couple months?
Oh yeah, I mean it's been great just to see the guys back. I mean, you know, the newcomers arrived, as you mentioned earlier in the week. I think KU's still waiting on, and I think he should be here this week. I think Zuby, if I'm correct, Zuby Ejiofor is the last one, not here yet. I know MJ Rice got here about 4 a.m. a few days ago. So no, man, it's been great just to see. You know, at the end of the year, you have to go through the process of, hey, who's going back, who's coming back. Who's leaving? You know, obviously you knew Ochai was leaving. You knew David was leaving. You knew Remy would be gone. You knew Mitch would be gone. And then you knew there was a chance that either Christian Brown and or Jalen Wilson or both would be gone. You know, Brown obviously decided to remain in the draft. Wilson decided to come back. You know, you throw in Kevin McCullough from Texas Tech, who should bring really a lot defensively. I know Bill loves his talent on the defensive end, sees him as an elite defender. So, yeah, just kind of being around those guys. I was at the scrimmage the other day and was able to sit next to Ernest Uday's family, which was really cool just to see their excitement. It's kind of a side of things you don't normally get to see. You know, they're cheering up and down like it's a game, and it's just cool to kind of see around, be around the new guys, all the excitement. You know, Grady Dick's here, and he's – I mean, expectations couldn't be any higher. You know, you've got MJ Rice, as I mentioned, a guy who – you know, many thought might ultimately try the pro route, who's here now. You know, Ernest, obviously, you know, a guy that many expect to, if not start, play starter-like minutes. And then, you know, Zach Clements is back. You know, how's he going to perform? Just so many storylines. You know, loaded. You guys got loaded in the backcourt. You know, DeJuan Harris back and all those guys. So it's been good to kind of see those guys get out and play a little bit and then kind of, you know, last night at the Round Ball Classic, see some of those guys in more of a kind of a relaxed atmosphere setting where they're laughing and, you know, talking with the former players. And, you know, it's just like a huge family. And so, yeah, it's been great, man. Bill had a big smile on his face when I saw him a couple days ago for good reason. You know, he's second national title, got a team that's back that's, you know, possibly going to be a top five team. So, yeah, it's good to get to see those guys. And, you know, when Jalen Wilson gets back, and I'm assuming that'll be soon, I know camp starts up again, I believe, Sunday. And when you get Zuby here, you'll get all the guys. And, you know, that bonding will start, that time where you kind of put everything together, mix the new and the old and all those things. So it was cool to see all those guys and just kind of get a sense of where they're at, where they've been, and kind of how they're feeling.
I want to ask you this before we move on now, Shay. We've talked about seemingly for 2 years on this podcast, to be quite honest, the looming NCAA decision. But does winning a national championship, does it ease the shadow of that hangs over recruiting? Does it count? Does it lessen the effect of that a little bit? I mean, when you talk to players that Kansas is recruiting now, is there still a concern about it? How great is it? I mean, what's the impact of that right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw, I mean, you know, Bill just, I mean, they just signed like a top three. I mean, they got Grady Dick, MJ Rice, Ernest Uday, Azubi Ejiofor. I mean, the thing about it is Randy, what you and I are talking about, you know, we don't know what kind of conversations Bill's having with those kids. I mean, and I know I've talked to a lot of guys and they were sure that things would be okay. I don't think they would have signed, but I mean, I don't know what conversations they're having. I mean, obviously those guys are here, so they got to feel good about it. I mean, they do, you know, and here's the other thing though, Randy. I mean, Kansas just won an NCAA title, the second under Bill. And right now things with recruiting are kind of quiet. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into this later. I'm sure you'll ask me all kinds of questions. They were supposed to have a kid in this weekend. I'm Layden Blocker, a point guard from right down the road at Sunrise Christian Academy, and now he's not coming. You know, I don't know if it's going to be rescheduled. I don't know what happened. You know, he's not. There hasn't been a lot of communication on that. I just know that he's not coming. And you know, right now the visit has been put on hold. So I think the conversations that you and I have and that other people have. Are completely different because we have an idea of what's going on. We have a sense of what's going on, but we're not in those rooms when Bill's talking to those guys. I mean, I do know this. I know there aren't a lot of guys. I know I've talked to a lot of guys. I just talked to one a couple days ago, Braylon Green, from out in Arizona, originally from Michigan, that's cut his list to five, planning on visiting soon. So a lot of guys have talked about visiting, but I'm interested to see where this class stacks up. Simply because, I mean, if you really with Jay Wright leaving, you know, you got Mike Krzyzewski moving on, and I know John Shire's done in I don't even know how to describe the job he's doing on the recruiting trail. Things I haven't seen before. So to me, I mean, now when you look at the top coach in college basketball, it's Bill Self. You talk about a program that ranks number one all time in wins. So I'm interested to kind of see, but here's another thing too. I mean, they're loaded in the backcourt. You got DeJuan for a few more years. You got Kyle Cuff. You got Bobby Pettiford. The transfer portal is always going to be an option. So they've really done a good job of stacking up talent. But I'm interested to see kind of where this leads because there's a lot of guys that are interested in Kansas. A lot of elite talent. As you look at it, and it's by no means do you need to panic. But I mean, there's obviously they don't have anybody on the commitment list yet. A lot of guys talked about visiting. A lot of guys planning to visit. So, if I know this staff and I know the way Bill operates, they're going to have a great recruiting class. Unless something comes tumbling down. Unless somebody comes in and says, "Hey, you're not going to play in the tournament for this many years," or you know, you reduce scholarships for this many years, or you can't coach during the tournament for this many. I mean, unless something just catastrophic or unexpected happens. I think it'll be business as usual for this staff. I just don't think that it's going to happen maybe as soon as everybody wants.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot, as if that wasn't enough, asking you about an NCAA investigation and possible infractions and things like that. So now I guess I'm going to put you on the spot again, is the way to put it. Give me your thoughts looking at this year's squad. Obviously, I mean, we're still maybe getting the confetti out of our hair. From what happened at the sure. You know, beginning of April. But looking at this year's team, what do you think the ceiling is? How good can they be? And maybe more importantly, we know the expectations are always national championship and a Big 12 championship and win every game by 50 at Kansas. But what should the expectations for fans be this year heading into the first season following Bill Self's second title?
Well, I think they have a chance to be, top five team, as good as any team in college basketball. I think a lot of it depends on how things shake out. I mean, listen, Jalen Wilson, you know, made the same decision last year to return, had the off-the-court issue, and just, I mean, it took him forever to get going. You know, and once he got going, he was really good. So can Jalen Wilson start the season the way he ended the season this year? I think that'll go a long way in determining how good this team's going to be. It's going to be his team. You know, look at a guy like DeJuan Harris. You know, defenses last year made it a point of leaving him open on the perimeter, and he just most times he just refused to shoot. And I know that's something that he's working on. I mean, is that an element to his game that he can add to where defenses now have to play Giannis and can't lag off and focus in on somebody else? You know, how good can DeJuan Harris be? You know, on that offensive side of the ball. You know, how much is Joseph Yesufu and Bobby Pettiford and Kyle Cuff, how much are they going to play? How are those minutes going to be distributed? And is somebody going to separate themselves? Because everybody knows that DeJuan Harris is the starting point guard. I mean, that's done. But yes. Who backs them up, and how effective are they? You know, the weight of the world is on Grady Dick's shoulders, whether anybody likes it or not. I mean, he's a Kansas kid, five-star kid, grew up a Kansas kid. And I mean, in terms of rooting for Kansas, has siblings at Kansas, family loves Kansas. And if you look at a lot of the preseason publications already, a lot of people expect him to step in and take over for Christian Brown. Can he meet those expectations? You know, how is MJ Rice going to perform when the lights are on? A guy that I think scored 19 in the scrimmage the other day. I mean, how is he going to react to, you know, when you step on the court for the first time and you're seeing Duke across the chest? You know, how are you going to handle going to Kansas State for the first time when there's 12,000 fans and they're screaming what they scream and Sandstorm's playing and it's an intense environment.
I like that. Screaming what they scream. Well put.
I mean, and regardless of how you feel about Kansas State, as a Kansas fan, that game matters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're in the thick of things and you're sitting down on press row and all those people are on top of you, it matters. When you go to Columbia, how are these guys going to react when they go to Columbia? So I think there's just so – I mean, Kevin McCullough, everybody knows what he can be defensively. He is an elite defender. I mean, he is. That's a huge loss for Texas Tech. But is he going to be a guy that's maybe got a little bit more talent surrounded him that can, you know, hit shots offensively? You know, can he improve on his numbers? How's Zach Clements going to respond to his first start or his first, you know, big-time game again, like against Duke? Or, you know, if KU's up – one game with two to play at the end of the season, who are they going to count on to get a big win on the road at Texas or in Lubbock or wherever? You know, I just think that, I mean, on paper, I think they've got a chance to be really, 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 really good. I think you saw at the scrimmage a couple of days ago what Joseph Yesufu is capable of. You know, he's not going to average 30 points. He's not going to average 15, I don't think, but he can score and he can score at a high clip. What if guys want a redshirt? Are they going to be okay with that? I just think there's so many unknowns right now. Where's Cam Martin fit in all this? Redshirted last year, he's back. You know, wants to play big minutes, and you know, how's that gonna? Are guys gonna redshirt? It's just, I think on paper they've got a chance to be really, really good. They're a talented team, but you know, you just can't step on the court day one and expect to replace, you know, an Ochai or a Christian or a David. It's gonna I think they've got guys capable of doing that, but you're not going to step in as a freshman. At least I don't think you are, and going to replace Ochai or replace Christian. I think it's going to happen over time, and I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen collectively. So it's just a lot still left to be decided in terms of minutes and who's going to step up and who's going to play what role and those things. But the talent to me is definitely there. I love the talent of this team. I love the makeup. You know, the thing to me is you got a guy like Zach Clements who didn't play a lot of minutes last year and comes in and meets with the media the other day, and he's got that swagger about him, that confidence, mm-hmm. And I think you need that. I think you need – and I didn't even mention KJ Adams, and I apologize. I mean, that's a guy, too, that had a really good camp scrimmage the other day, and you know, a guy that was in the game on the last possession against North Carolina defensively, and, you know, he's going to – again, the minutes, the battle for minutes is going to be interesting. And like always, we say this every year, some kids are going to be disappointed because, you know, Bill's not going to go more than 8 or 9 guys, and he's not going to divert from that. So it's going to be a battle for sure to see who plays and who separates themselves from the pack.
You've talked about different names and two that you've already mentioned. You've talked about Jalen Wilson. You've talked about Kevin McCullers. How big is it to have Jalen back, to have him return after testing the waters with the NBA draft, and to be able to add, as you said, just a phenomenal defensive player, a guy that is maybe custom ordered by Bill Self to play in his backcourt in Kevin McCullers from Texas Tech. I mean, how big are those two guys right there, and how much impact can they have on this squad this year?
I think two of the biggest additions of the season. I mean, listen, you got a guy, Jalen Wilson, that is coming off a national championship run and a run that doesn't happen without him. I mean, he wasn't spectacular all season, but he's a guy that brings a ton of experience, ton of confidence. He's been through the battles. He's been through the wars. He knows what to expect on the road. He knows what it takes to win. He's a guy, really, you guys, that really made a mistake last year and didn't hide from that. That says a lot about a person in terms of his character and his willingness to kind of step out in front of things and say, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm here for it. I'm not ducking. I'm not dodging it. I'm here. I'm ready to move on. And so I think that in itself says a lot about his personality. You can never have too much experience. You can never have too much leadership, and you can never have too much talent. And I believe that. And I think when you look at, guys last year, Ochai Agbaji had been around for a while. You had Remy Martin that had been around for a while, not at KU, but in the college game. You had Mitch Lightfoot that had been around for a long time. You had some seasoned guys that had been around for a while and kind of had been through the ropes. A lot of those guys, a year earlier were on a team that suffered the worst tournament loss in the history of Kansas basketball, I believe, to USC.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they hear all year long, well, you guys didn't really get any better. It's kind of the same starting five. You didn't really get any more athletic. This didn't happen or that. And here they are. So I think, anytime you can bring back a guy like Jalen Wilson, a double-digit scorer, a guy that can rebound, a guy that can get out and push the ball in transition, a guy that's kind of been through. And here's the thing, you guys. When Kansas takes on Duke that first game, that experience, that knowledge, that everything that Jalen Wilson brings to that game is going to matter. And same with Kevin. Obviously, I know he hasn't been at Kansas, but he's been through some big games. He's been in some big-time environments. He's been through the ropes, and defensively, he's a guy that's going to step in right away and start. If he's not starting game one, the question I would ask, Randy, is imagine not having Jalen and not having Kevin. Just picture that for a second, where this team would be. Bill would have hit the portal and found replacements, but he wouldn't have been able to replace Jalen Wilson and Kevin McCullough.
True.
He would have gotten bodies. But you don't replace that.
Not guys of that quality, question.
I just think the fact that Jalen has been through so much, and you guys did he want to leave? Is he probably ready to move on? Yeah, probably. I get that. I think, and I don't know this for sure. It's never been talked about. It's never been discussed. But I'm sure he's been taken care of NIL wise. I'm sure that they put together
whoever he's doing okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing great, and there was a reason for him to smile to come back. And same with Kevin. Anytime you can add guys that are double digit scorers, that can defend, that bring a wealth of experience, talent, knowledge. And again, I'll go back. The KU is going to play in a ton of big games this year. They're going to play in a ton of big games. I know I referenced the Duke game, but you open up the season, game number one. They'll have their preseason, but game number one is against Duke. So you step out on there for the first time to open up the season, and all of a sudden you got a guy like DeJuan Harris that's been through it, mm-hmm. knows what to expect. You got a guy like Jalen Wilson that's been through it, that knows what to expect. You got a guy like Kevin McCullough that's been through it, knows what to expect. And even guys like KJ Adams, who didn't play a ton last year, and Zach Clements. People forget the first game last year against Michigan State. I think Zach played like 5 minutes and scored like 7 points at a couple threes. And he's primed for this. But having other guys around like Zubi Ejiofor, who's never played a minute, or Grady Dick, or when the lights are on and those guys start to get, the bubble guts. you can look at a guy like Jalen, or a guy like DeJuan, or a guy like Kevin, and say, "Hey, we've been here before. We got you." So I think all that, just from a leadership standpoint, and from a knowledge standpoint, and from a standpoint of, Jalen Wilson could go up to those guys. Guys, I was down 15 points in a national title game. This is game number one against Duke. Relax. He can bring that. He can share those experiences with those guys. So I think bringing back one is great. Bringing back two is, it's really the two biggest additions that the staff could have done, aside from bringing back Christian Brown. So I think it's huge.
So looking ahead, and you've talked about how if something had happened and Bill Self wasn't able to land Kevin McCullers, if Jalen Wilson had decided to keep his name in the draft, that he would have gone out and been able to find replacements. Not that level, but he would have found guys. That's recruiting is obviously such a huge part of any college basketball program, but Bill Self has done it at a level that really we've never seen at Kansas before and continues to do that. When we look at this next class, what are the needs in this class and what are some of the early names that you're following right now?
Oh man. Needs. Yeah, it's so hard saying depending who comes back. I mean, there's a kid, Mikey Williams, the number 19th ranked player in America. You know, a lot of people for the longest time, Randy, thought that he was going to go the pro route, and college, from everything I understand now, is definitely his move. 6'1", point guard, ultra athletic guy that can score and put up points. He's the guy you're going to really want to put. KU's been on him since the absolute beginning. Even when it looked like the pros were going to be his, would be the move he would make. You know, he was a guy that Kansas has put a ton of time in recruiting. So that's obviously a guy that you're going to want to keep your eyes. I've heard LeBron James Jr. You know, I don't know. We've tried to get interviews with him and his people, and they don't do it. But that's a name that's always been linked to Kansas. He's from Sierra Canyon out in Chatsworth, California.
Okay, you know, just because I have to ask.
Yeah.
I know you said he hasn't talked much, and there's not, you know, he's not a guy that has been open to communication, stuff like that.
Can't get him.
His people, what do you think? What are you, Shay, you know this, how all this stuff works. As an insider, I mean, do you think there's a legit chance that we see Bronny in Lawrence?
Here's the thing, you guys. He's a Nike guy. I mean, everybody knows his dad.
Of course.
So that's a hurdle. I mean, I mean, you would think that's a hurdle because LeBron James has made it clear, perfectly clear. He came out and said, and this isn't verbatim, but I'm going to kind of put up my quote fingertips. My last season, I'll play with my son. So whoever drafts my son gets me. Okay, so I'm assuming that LeBron is a Nike guy, and that's going to be the case. But I'm also thinking to myself, well, hey, if my son is going to go to school for 1 year, and you guys, I don't even know if he's the 29th ranked player in America. He's 6'2", 170 shooting guard, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are we to assume, based on LeBron's statements, that his son's one and done? I don't know how much longer LeBron has. So my feel is if I'm going to send my kid, and this is just me, and this is Shay Wildebor talking, if I'm going to send my son to a school, why wouldn't, if there's an opportunity to do so, why wouldn't I send him to the best school possible with the best coach, the best facilities, the best fan base, the best opportunity to get exposure, you know, a school where when my son walks off campus, whether it be a year or 4 years later, when he returns, it's going to be like he never left. Why wouldn't I send him to a place where the people in that community genuinely care for him? And I'm just being honest. I'm not sure there's a better place than Kansas, but, and here's another thing on these. I've never been to Duke or Kentucky or Carolina or Arizona. So I don't know what those communities are like, but I know here, especially after seeing another round ball last night, that I don't think that there's a better community basketball wise or a better fan base or a more knowledgeable fan base than the people at the University of Kansas. I believe that. Bronny's been linked to Kansas for as long as I can remember. So do I think that there's a chance? Yeah. I mean, I never thought Andrew Wiggins was coming. Do I expect it to happen? No, I don't. Now things, you guys, now here's another thing. He could have already visited, been in and out, and nobody would have ever known. I find that hard to believe, but the way his people operate, I got no idea. I don't. I mean, you know,
when your dad's a billionaire, you can keep things quiet. Yeah,
exactly.
If you want to. Yeah.
So until I hear otherwise, I'm going to assume there's a chance. But I mean, listen, John and I have tried and tried. We've talked to our national guys. We've done everything to get him at events, and his people will not let him talk. So it's like asking me to put a gun to my head and pick a number, and I don't know. But until I hear that, hey, Kansas is out, he's going to stay on the hot board, and I'm going to assume that, you know, KU's got a chance.
Okay, another question right along those lines. We all know that LeBron James has had a relationship for a long time, even though he didn't play in college, with, you know, with Mike Krzyzewski, with Duke, with obviously Coach K has retired. So does that mean Duke is no longer a factor in this? Because if
I don't think so. I think his handprint will be on that program for a while. He's no longer the head coach. And John Shire, so far, he hasn't coached a game at Duke. but he's about recruiting recruiting as about as well as I've seen a coach in the duration I've been doing this. So my guess is that conversations have been had between Coach K and Duke, or I'm sorry, Coach K and LeBron, and that if his son had a scholarship offer before and was a priority for the staff before Coach K left, I'm sure that's the case now. That's just my guess. But again, you guys, I mean, how tall is Bronny? 6'8", 260? I don't know his exact measurement. I mean, he's a big dude.
I was going to say, I think he's like 6'7", 6'8". Yeah, that sounds okay. Right.
His son's
He'd be a heck of a defensive end. I do know that.
So Bronny's 6'2", 170. And so I don't know what the dynamics are there. I just know that Kansas has been linked for a long time. And the few people that I have talked to that know about it say Kansas is one of the schools. So that's what I'm assuming.
That said.
So, yeah.
Of those names. Are there, you know, and obviously we didn't get to all of them, but if there's somebody that maybe you didn't get a chance to mention there, because we did talk so much about Bronny James, which are the names that you have, and this is obviously very early, which do you have a good feeling about right now? Or do you feel like, okay, you're not going to predict them. You're not going to say, hey, that's the best chance, you know, that guy's coming to Kansas or stuff like that. Which one do you feel that KU is in the best position with right now?
Man, that's a good question. There's a kid from out in Indianapolis, Indiana, Xavier Booker. He's the 37th ranked player in the class. That's been that Kansas recently offered. That really likes. But I know Duke just offered, so that's something to watch. You know, Braylon Green, the kid I talked about from Glendale, Arizona, that wants to visit. You know, he's got KU in his top five, but everybody seems to think that he's a Michigan State guy. Andre.
Every time you say Braylon Green, I swear you're going to say Brandon Green.
Andre, and I hope I pronounce Andre Stojakovic, whose son obviously Peja. You know, last time we talked, he said he was going to visit. You know, Yugunna Kingsley from Connecticut, big man, a 7-foot center, you know, was talked about visiting. You know, there's another kid from Sunrise, Scotty Middleton, 6'6", small forward, that's talked about visiting. KU just recently offered a kid out in Riverside, California, Dennis Evans, 7-foot, 210-pound center that they really like. A kid from Atlanta, Georgia, who's absolutely blowing up. Caden Cooper is another kid to keep an eye on. So here's what I tell people when I talk about recruiting, and I try to hammer this home as best as I can. A ton of kids are going to be interested in the University of Kansas and Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky and everywhere else. But the thing that separates those kids from the kids that are really interested are visits. So we can sit here all day and talk about this kid or that kid, which is great because it draws interest. It gets people talking. But until kids start setting visits, it's really hard to gauge, especially now. A lot of kids don't talk. A lot of kids have guardians and mentors and like people that do the talking for them, or, you know, they'll only answer DMs. It's hard to get a feel for tone and what they're really thinking. So, I mean, I think there's quite a few kids in this class, and they'll, believe me, after July, there'll be some names that we haven't heard about that are really interested in Kansas. But I think until one kids start scheduling visits, you're never going to know. You just don't. Because so many kids, I thought Caleb Tarzewski, I thought was coming to Kansas, and last minute went to Arizona. DeAndre Ayton, Kansas, and then boom, Arizona. So I think obviously you have to consider the visits, and if they're serious about visiting, and then two, you have to look at the roster. I mean, you do. You look at Bobby Pettiford, young guard, Joseph.
Isn't Yesifu, that really guard. The biggest factor?
Absolutely.
Anymore.
Yeah.
It's Juwan it's Harris about can I play or not.
Yeah, yeah. It's no longer, hey, I got a scholarship offer to Kansas or Kentucky or Duke. Great. Now it's like, okay, I got the offer, but am I starting? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, Kansas has got to really, with the COVID stuff, I mean, they've got some young, I mean, Bobby Pettiford's got three or four more years. Yesifu's got a couple years. DeJuan Harris, Kyle Cuff, those are all guards. I mean, that's four or five guards right there. And then you've got, I assume that Wilson will be gone, but then you've got MJ Rice, who's just a freshman, and Clemens, who's just a sophomore, and Ernest, who's just you've got really talent all over the roster. So I think until you really know you know, who's visiting and who's coming back and player minutes availability and all those kind of things. And it just, if I had a magic wand and I could just go boom and figure it all out, I would. But that's the beauty of this thing. You just, sometimes you just got to be patient and wait for things to fall into place.
Shay, we are not going to be patient and waiting for you to come back on the podcast. You hear me?
I'm ready, man. Whenever you guys need me, I'm ready once a week, whatever you guys need, I'll be here. And I always enjoy my conversations with you guys.
Awesome. Shay, that was great. It was great having you back with us. We will talk with you again soon, sir. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks a lot.
All right, now we're going to switch gears, bring in my man John Kirby, and we are going to get into some Kansas football. John, this thing is like the wild, wild west with the transfer portal, with NIL, with seemingly everything that is going on with just the constantly changing landscape of college football. It's almost impossible to keep up with. You know, it makes my head spin. As somebody, you know, you mentioned it earlier, you've been doing this for a really long time now. And that's not me calling you old. I'm sorry, that sounded terrible. You've been doing this for a while. From your perspective, I mean, what is it like seeing just where the game has progressed to at this point? What do you think about it when you just kind of step back and look at it?
Well, you know, Randy, there's three stages that I look at it, how it's just changed. I mean, recruiting, you know, we've got people that have subscribed to our site since 2001, okay? And we've got, you know, there's some knowledgeable, loyal KU football fans who've stuck with, you know, the program through thick and thin that love football. And they, yeah,
that's a lot of
they love there, football and they love following recruiting. But it is nothing even close to what it was from then, like when people joined our site. And it's nothing close to what it was 5 years ago. And, you know, there were three things that I say that really changed everything. Is number one is the transfer portal, obviously, which was probably the biggest, okay? Mm-hmm. Then you have NIL, which has become a major factor in it, which, you know, we're going to get into that more this summer. We're going to have some guests on. You know, you and I have talked about doing some future podcasts. I'm going to have some NIL people on who can give a little bit more of a real perspective to the listeners about how important all this is going to be, because it is going to be important. And then you've got the changing of the 25-man limit, which I didn't think got a lot of play, but I think was something that
it's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle.
Let me tell you, the changing of the 25-man limit has it has changed the game, because now you've got a lot of programs out there who have two or three spots open, and then they went out and, you know, tried to find, you know, some late guys here, and it's really changed everything. So recruiting as we knew it 4 or 5 years ago is nothing like it is now. So it's just, everything is so different. There is nothing that even resembles what you and I knew about recruiting when we first got into this. And, you know, I don't know if I like the direction of it. You know, you got to live with it, but it has definitely changed everything.
That was going to actually be my next question was, you know, do you like it? What are your feelings on it? Because of the fact that, I mean, you know, I've been a member of the site since 2001, I think, and have been working with you since 2014 now. And it's, yeah, I've been covering recruiting. I think I started on that officially in 2012. And it is, the changes have been seismic. And the pace that the changes are now coming at, is it's almost impossible to keep up with that. Just about the time you start to feel like you're maybe getting your head around how something is going to start working, then it just shifts again. I mean, is, you and I are huge college football fans. Is this the game that you thought you'd be watching at this point?
No.
Is this what you want it to be?
Well, I don't know if it's what I want it to be, right? Because, you know, there's still going to be challenges for KU moving ahead with everything. So, but I'm one of these guys, Randy, that says, you know, you don't sit here and cry about it. You figure out how to work with it. Okay. And so here, I'll tell you, you know, like with the transfer portal, all right, Hey, listen, I mean, people can complain about it, but you know what? Kansas has come out ahead, okay? The Jayhawks have absolutely had a positive gain from the transfer portal. That's not even debatable, okay? You have to look at the transfer portal as who did you gain, who did you lose, and did you improve, okay? And if you look at this portal cycle counting from the start of last year's season to now, and if you look at the players that Kansas has lost to the portal as opposed to who they've gained, it's not even close. The Jayhawks have improved their roster 10 times over what they had. And I'm not knocking any guy that has left the program, but if you look, they really haven't lost a lot of key contributors in the portal in this cycle. But when you look back at who they've gained, I mean, it's pretty impressive, especially more than anything on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I think half your starters could come from the portal. So, you know, I think Kansas has been very organized. I think they have done a tremendous job of knowing who they can get and who they can't. That's one of the biggest things at Kansas is you've got to figure out what kind of kid you can get there. Does he fit the mold? Does he fit the profile of what you want? Can you develop him? And then you've got to figure out early on, if you don't think you can get that kid, you've got to be able to cut bait and move on. Because let's face it, we all know the challenges of KU football. You're not going to go out and land a bunch of high-profile guys. It's never happened like that. So you've got to know who you're going after. You kind of got to know who's on your board that fits who can you get. And they have done a great job with doing that.
So to follow that up, you talk about the change and just the roster churn and turnover that we have seen with the Jayhawks and numerous programs, obviously, across the country. The fact that half the Jayhawks defensive starters could come from the portal, in your opinion, and obviously this is really just the first year of this, do you feel like this is the way it will be on a year-in, year-out basis, or is it too early to tell how this is really going to work going forward into this new era of college football?
You're seeing how it's going to work, okay? And the coaches have to change everything they do, okay? So, I mean, you're kind of going to have two stages. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think the NCAA is going to put some rules in place to where the transfer portal isn't going to be just a free-for-all. They're going to start shutting this down into a couple windows, right? They're going to say, all right, if you're going to enter the portal, you got window one here, and this is the time you can enter. And then when that's done, they're going to shut it down. And then they're going to come back and they're going to open up a second window, and that's going to be a small window. And that's going to help coaches now be able to plan a little bit more instead of having a transfer portal open for like 4 months or something that you can join. They're going to start narrowing that down. Now, when you look at KU and when you look at the transfer portal, you know, I think, Randy, last year, when Kansas was recruiting all the guys in November, December, January, those kids were coming from programs that a lot of them were proven players, okay? Those guys were players who you've seen play at that level. You know what they can do. So it was a little easier. This last portal run here that we've been through March, April, May, June, I'm telling you what, I think it is I think there's going to be a lot of mistakes, and I think it's going to happen all over the country because there are a lot of schools who are, I've joked on the message board, it is a seller's market, okay? There are kids getting offers and going to major big-time Power 5 programs who I'm telling you would have never been recruited to those programs. But these guys have spots, and they're trying to fill their spots, and they're trying to get the best available, okay? And there are guys that KU's recruited. They've lost to other schools, and they've lost them to some pretty big-name schools. And I'm telling you, in any other year since I've ever started this, there's no way on God's green earth that those schools would have recruited players now. But the problem is, you lose players to the portal, okay? So you've got to fill those spots. So I think sometimes you start reaching, and I think everybody's probably gotten into that as they're trying to get back as close as you can to the 85. So I don't think we're going to see many changes for the next couple of years. Now, this 25-man roster limit, it's on a two-year trial run, if you will. So if they don't like what they see, they can change it. But for the next couple of years, what we've seen is pretty much what you're going to get.
Okay, John. So in terms of the portal and transfers who can leave now, you know, guys that can, you know, be available to play this fall and be there this summer potentially. What are we still following for this program?
Well, you got Dean Miller, who's a defensive end out of California, College of the Canyons. Right now he's down to Kansas and Indiana. And hey, listen, I've turned my phone on mute for about the last hour here while we're doing this podcast. So hopefully nothing broke while we're talking. But I mean, at some point here, Dean's going to have to make a decision, right? I mean,
I was going to say, what's the holdup with this one?
He wanted to wait till his finals were over. And then I did hear there was a final pushback here, like middle this week. So a lot of focus went there. But, you know, at some point, he's going to have to make a decision on where he's going to go. Some of the things I've heard, he's down to Kansas and Indiana. It's kind of a 50-50 battle. So we'll have to just kind of wait and see how that all plays out. And then there's another transfer he's visiting this weekend, Tristan Fletcher. He's a linebacker from Trinity Valley. And I like him. I really like him.
I can't remember the last time you said that.
This kid's a football player, and he can flat out run. When you watch him close on the football, I don't know that there's a linebacker currently on KU staff whose first two or three steps are like his and gets to the point of attack. I don't know if KU's got a guy who runs like he does at linebacker. So, and I'm probably going to go on the message board here in just a little bit, and I'm going to forecast him to KU before his visit starts. The only thing that, you know, holds me back from that is it's kind of like a blind date, right? Like, hey, we want you. You want to be at our place. Let's come in this weekend. Let's see how everything goes, okay? If I was a betting man, he leaves a Jayhawk this weekend. But you still got to get him in. Mom and dad got to like the place. He's got to like the place. The coaches have to like him. They've never met him, okay? So, you know, what I like about him and Dean Miller, Randy, they are 4-for-3 players. And what that means is you've got 4 years to play 3 years, meaning you have a red shirt, which I've said this on the board, and I know some people have come back and said, no, they're really not like high school players, but no, they really are. Because when you're a 4-for-3, you're a heck of a lot closer to a high school player, okay, than you are a traditional junior college player who's usually 2-for-2 or 3-for-3, okay? So
absolutely. Just from a development
absolutely.
Standpoint
so,
alone.
So like Tristan Fletcher, he didn't even start playing linebacker till like the last half of his senior year, okay? Then he didn't even plan on playing this year. They ended up putting him in. The kid had 75 tackles. You know, early on when he was playing for them, they were one of the top 3 or 4 JUCO teams in the nation. So he's only going to get better. He's only going to learn the position a lot more. So, you know, he's a guy I would take because I think he could come in at worst, give you some backup, learn the system, give you some special teams. Or you redshirt him, and now you've got him for 3 years to play football. So right now, those are really the two that I'm following. And the question is going to be is what guys are going to end up coming out of nowhere? Because I still think there's a chance that we hear of a transfer or two that Kansas is still evaluating that we haven't heard that's on the board yet.
So I've got to ask. Is there something you've heard that you can't talk about that makes you think that, or you just have this just kind of a John Kirby kind of impulse feeling that, hey, I've been around this and I just kind of have a feeling there could be.
My answer would be a little of both. I have a feeling. I have a good feeling. They are doing their due diligence. They are vetting some people to see if they are still the type that they would like. You know, you've got a football camp coming up next week. I mean, they could get guys into that. They could get a look there. So I just, you know, it's too early to close the door. I was ready to close the door on all this about a week or two ago and say they're done. But I'm not ready to do that right now because I still think this staff, you know, I mean, the inside guys, Ionello and Aligo and Grant Murray. Great, Grant Murray's tremendous. They've got some good inside guys, and they do their homework very well, and they come up with players. So I'm not ready to shut that whole transfer or portal door yet.
You mentioned camps, and the high school camp season and official visits and everything, all of that is about to crank way back up. In addition to everything going on with the portal, we're kind of combining all of that together. Looking more at the high school side of things right now, what can we expect to see in June in the way of visitors?
Yeah, Randy, the staff has done a real nice job. I think you're going to see something here in the next couple weeks, starting this weekend, going into the following weekend. I think you're going to see 18, 19 high school visitors. And I know this has been a little bit of a topic where everybody's sitting here going, hey, you know, what about the high school recruiting? What's going on? Well, I think you're starting to see here they come out of nowhere with, you know, 18, possibly up as many as 19 guys the next 2 weeks visiting. And there's some good players in there. So I think you see that the effects of the portal, okay, Kansas has never not recruited high school kids. They've been recruiting these kids the whole time. There's no way you set 18 kids to a visit in 2 weekends without having a very good relationship with the high school guys, having a good recruiting board, and knowing what you're going on. The difference is we haven't heard as much about the high school kids until here in the last week when we started confirming and getting everybody, you know, all their official visits and talking about them. And I've been saying this, and I've mentioned this on the board. June is the new December, okay? And here's why. October, November, and December, coaches are going to go back to focus on the transfer portal, okay? Now there's still going to be high school recruiting going on, but it's not going to be like the old days. Every program that you see. Now, maybe the Alabamas and Ohio. Alabama, I think, has got 6 or 7 portal guys coming in, okay? Everybody's going to be using the portal, some more than others. But you're going to see a lot of your traditional Power 5 programs, D1, G5 programs, they're going to turn their attention to the portal a lot in November and December. So you're going to see some high school, you're going to see a lot of portal recruiting. June is now what December used to be. Remember when we used to sit there in the month of December and talk about all the high school kids that are going to visit? That is now yes. June, okay? And here's why. When they moved the visit, when the NCAA moved the visits up a few years ago and they allowed them to start going in the summer, I think high school kids got to the point they said, let's get this thing over with, okay? They've been recruited. They've been recruited for a year or two. They have, you know, answered calls from all the recruiting services. You know, you've got text messaging now. You've got FaceTime. And you know, I think a lot of these recruits now, their goal is to get this thing done sometime before their senior season start, okay? Now, and I'll say this, I do think that hurts KU in this situation because I think you and I, Randy, we saw progress, okay? People on our site, the people who follow KU football saw progress last year in what Leipold and his staff were able to do, especially late in the season. They made games competitive. They had chances to win games. They beat Texas on the road, okay? We all saw that. Okay, if you talk to KU football people, they'll tell you, hey, we're positive. We saw things that make us positive for the future. But the fact of the matter is, recruits see 2-10, okay? Recruits hear that Kansas hasn't won more than 3 games since 2009, okay? So those are things that recruits and sometimes recruits' parents see differently than you and I or the KU football fan who really watch the team and see some of the things that we saw on the field. So the thing that I think that hurts Kansas a little bit is the fact that I think a lot of these guys are all saying, I want to have my decision before my senior year starts. So they don't have to worry about it. They can focus on their fall camps in August. They can worry about their senior seasons and not have to worry about recruiting and just focus on playing football. Now, we all know that a lot of these guys are going to commit, and some of them are going to start changing their minds in November, December. That's like clockwork, okay? That's not going to change anymore. But you really wish that some recruits who are looking at Kansas would give KU a chance to play this upcoming 2022 season, okay? And then say, all right, we're seeing the tangible progress. I want to look at them. But unfortunately, timing could hurt for this 2023 class.
And you've said that from the very beginning. I mean, last year when we were looking at the 2022 class, you kept saying, you're like, the 2023 class is going to be tough because of the timing of the clock really that this staff is working with the way that the recruits are making their decisions now and when the season happens,
well,
obviously.
Well, hey, listen, I mean, look at this weekend. All right. I mean, you've got a nice mix of some kids coming from out of state, okay? It's so weird. They're never bothered. by KU's record. They're never bothered like, you know, some of the local guys, and I'm sure we'll get into that here in a little bit, but, you know, some of the local players, it's magnified. KU's lack of football success in over the last decade, it's magnified. It's talked about a lot. Kids hear that. But if you look at this weekend, I mean, Siraz Bunkam, a wide receiver from Mater Dei Catholic, he's coming in. I forecasted him. Well, hopefully I'm right on this, but I'm forecasting him to pick KU, okay? He is a very good wide receiver who has several options. Tony Terry from Jackson, Missouri. The KU staff just saw him at a camp last week. They sped everything up. They offered him. They got him in on a visit. He's coming in. He's going to be in today. He is a talented defensive end. I mean, I still think he's going to pick up more offers, or he's got a lot of schools looking at him. You know, it's interesting. He told me, you know, one of the main things is finding a home for his, you know, his one-year-old son. He's got a son who turns one at the end of this month, and, you know, choosing a school is going to be important. You know, that's going to be a big factor in his decision. Jared Sample, talked to him this morning when he was getting on the airplane from Cypress Ranch, a wide receiver. Another guy with you know, options. Logan Brantley, a safety from Cherry Creek out in Colorado. You know, he's still going to see Washington State and Colorado, I think it was, that he told me. Tristan Fletcher, we just talked about him from Trinity Valley Community College. Keaton Kubeka, a wide receiver from Austin Westlake. You know, I mean, Austin Westlake is, I mean, they are unbelievable. If people haven't followed high school football, just go Google Austin Westlake. I mean, they are...
It is an elite, elite
go, go look at every program. National poll, okay, from last season. They're ranked number two in every poll. They are ranked second in the nation in every single high school poll. They've won three straight Texas state championships. I mean, they are legit. They turn out guys left and right. And then on the local front this weekend, you got Trey Richardson, a running back athlete from Highland Park, okay? And then, listen, he's another guy. KU's his only Power 5 offer right now. And I'm just telling you, he told me his mom was late getting him signed up for the big Lindenwood Mega Camp out in St. Louis, where there a lot of college coaches were. I'm telling you, it's a good thing he didn't go to that camp. Because if people see him and the way he runs and the way he moves on a football field, he will get scholarship offers. So, you know, hopefully he's a guy that the staff can get, sit him down and say, listen, we've been with you from day one. We've been recruiting you harder than anybody. Are you ready to be a Jayhawk? You know, hopefully they can convince him, you know, to make that commitment to KU. And then lastly, but not least in this weekend, is Calvin Clements, an offensive lineman from Free State. I think, you know, everybody listening to this who's made it this far into our podcast, who follows recruiting, knows Calvin. He's an offensive lineman from Free State High School. Big frame, athletic, coming off an injury. I know you had a chance to talk to him at the Sharp Combine. You know, he's definitely going to take some visits, okay? He's not going to make a quick decision or anything, but he is an important guy on that local front because there are so few guys left, Randy, on that local front that I think KU can get because some of them have already eliminated KU. Some of them, you know, are going to go to other schools. I don't know if KU's going to get a visit out of some of them. And one of the guys that I just heard about right before this podcast, you know, I kind of heard a little tidbit that Samuel Same from Derby now wants to probably look at leaving the state to go to school. So that could be another local guy off the board. So, you know, the Kansas coaches are going to have to figure out, you know, who to cut bait with and where to go, because I've always joked about this. The NCAA doesn't feel sorry for Kansas football. Okay. They don't let them play by different set of rules. Okay. And extend the recruiting period or give them more scholarships or anything like that. I mean, KU has to still, they've got to field a class. So, you know, if you're not going to get the local guys, you still got to go out and figure out how you're going to fill your class.
You kind of touched on this a little bit, and it's always such a hot topic, and actually you did more than just touch on it. The local recruiting thing. And it's a regular topic almost daily. I know some of our posters get a little frustrated with the constant local recruiting threads on the slant suite, but it still seems like it is a challenge for this staff. You've been around. We've talked about, you know, you've talked about how your impressions of this staff, that they are building it the right way. So you have, you've got perspective that comes from experience and having seen this program up and having seen this program down. That said, in your opinion, what do you do? How do you fix it? How do you, or not even fix it, how do you address
Randy,
it?
Randy, I've got mixed feelings on it, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. I'm born and raised in Kansas City, been here all my life, okay? So I'd love to see as many local kids, Kansas kids, kids from Kansas City as you can. When you look back at, you know, some of those good teams Mangino had, some of the key guys they had on the team, or at least they molded around, were local players. Now, you also had some, but you also Absolutely. Had some really good players from outside the area, okay? But I think when you can get local kids, they do bring a little bit of pride into the program. And maybe some of that pride and the effort that they play with, that they want to play for their family, their friends, their state, their area, maybe rubs off on some of those kids from outside the area. Now, when I look back and look at those teams, okay, Todd Reising didn't need any help getting fired up to play football, okay? Aqib Talib didn't need help getting fired up to go play football for Kansas. But when you've got the Jake Sharps and Mike Riveras and some of the guys that were on those teams, Daryl Stuckey and Justin Thornton, I could keep going on. I'm sure there's guys that I'll miss. Hey, Chet Hartley, Brandon McAnderson, absolutely Brandon McAnderson. Chet Hartley, you know, there's a guy that people forget about that, you know, came from, you know, was a small town in Kansas, went to Butler County Community College. But my point is a blend would be nice, okay? But the thing that Kansas has to do, all right, is they've got to keep coming back and they got to keep knocking on doors, okay? The 2023 class may not produce a lot of local players for the reasons that we've already talked about. But here's what you got to do. You got to keep getting them to camp. You got to keep calling the local coaches. You've got to keep showing up when you're out on the road. You've got to keep doing those things because at some point you're going to start showing progress. And then recruits are going to start saying, God, they're kind of turning it around. They got some things going on. That's what happened to Caleb Blakeslee and Jake Sharp and Kerry Meyer. There was a year there where Kansas landed like three of the top players in the state of Kansas three straight years because those kids started to see the program changing. Now, Kansas had some guys like, you know, Clint Bowen and Dave Dorn who were recruiting back then when they were younger. They were about as good as recruiters that, you know, Kansas has had in a long time. But
yes, sir.
The fact of the matter is, Randy, you got to keep going back. And I know the things that I've heard and the plan that's in place at KU, they are not going to just give up on local recruiting. Okay, now, I can guarantee you, they don't like the fact that they could, you know, lose out on a lot of local guys in this 2023 class, but they're not going to give up and they're just not going to turn and run. They're going to keep going back.
We're going to get your thoughts on the team and your kind of projections for this coming season, you know, in podcasts that we're going to have over the summer. So that said, I want to end with this. If there are five impact players, either from the portal or high school ranks, coming into this program for the 2022-23 season, who are those five, in your opinion?
Boy, that's tough. Let's see. All right, I'm going to go with Lonnie Phelps, okay, because he's a defensive end that I think will absolutely start, and he is going to replace Kyron Johnson. He gives him a pass rushing guy off the edge, and they needed that. I definitely have to go with Marvin Grant, who was one of the guys they got here in the late cycle. All right, I mean, he's legit. I mean, he was second on the team at Purdue in tackles. He started every game at Purdue last year at safety, so there's one for sure. You know, I'm going to throw Kai Thomas in there. Okay. He led Minnesota in rushing last year. I think he's going to come in and help get carries. You know, you've got Devin Neal, who I think will still be the starter, but Devin needs help. I mean, you can't, Devin's not going to be a 30, 35 carry a game guy. I mean, Devin Neal needs to be a 10, 15 carry guy, keep him fresh, you know, keep him healthy. You know, he also plays baseball. Okay. So, you know, keep fresh legs in there. And I think Kai Thomas gives him a guy that can do that. And there's some other talented backs at KU as well. Craig Young, I got to go with Craig Young because he's one of the guys that when you show up to practice and you're watching the defense and you go, golly, who's that? and people go, oh, he's from Ohio State. And you go, okay, well, he looks like the guys that, you know, he looks like the guys that Ohio State lines up with. And I think he'll give KU kind of that that athletic linebacker spot. You know, he's a former hurdler in high school. You know, he's legit 6'4", 225, and I think he'll help a lot on the defense. And I'll go with Kalen Gervin, defensive back from Michigan State. He plays with some of that swag, a little bit of chip on the shoulder. I think he'll bring to that corner group a physical mentality. He's tough. He'll put his head in there and hit you. So what is that? Is that five? Yeah, that's five. Boy, I could keep on going. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll give you five in my sleeper. My sleeper is Dre Doran from Buffalo. Okay. He didn't even take a visit to Kansas. He committed without taking a visit. He already knew the staff because he played for him at Buffalo. Hey, this guy now, he can play all five spots on the line. He's got 3 years of eligibility remaining. He told me he thinks he may start off as a center. That's how athletic he is. He started 10 games last year at Buffalo as the right tackle, and he's telling me he could move to center. So that tells you right there that he's an athletic guy that Scott Fuchs can put all across that line. So I'll give you five in my sleeper. I had to throw an extra one in there.
John, that's as thorough a breakdown as we have had in quite some time. This has turned into just a marathon edition of the Inside Slant podcast. As we close this thing out, I want to be sure and mention we have a fantastic deal coming up. We have a free trial that's available through next week where you can subscribe to The Slant and you'll be free until the start of fall camp. And that is as good a deal as you are going to find anywhere on the net. I say it every time we have one of these podcasts. Jayhawk Slant is the place on the internet for Kansas fans. There is no better resource for Kansas basketball, men's basketball coverage, and Kansas football coverage than what you're going to find from Shea Wildebor and John Kirby. If you have thought about subscribing, if you're a previous subscriber, if you are new to message boards and you're like, hey, I don't even know how this works, there is no better time to find out than now. If you have friends that are KU fans that listen to the podcast, or if they don't, hey, tell them to listen to the podcast. Come on. And get them to sign up for the three free trial as well. They will love you for it. It's a great time to get involved with The Slant. It's a great time to be listening to the Inside Slant podcast. There is more going on right now around the two programs than I can ever remember. With that said, that's a lot to say. I'm going to close it out now. For my man John Kirby, for our good buddy Shea Wildebor, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We promise we'll talk to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.